Welcome to Mostly Pottered at Night. Mostly, I am Salem, joined by my co-host Graveyard.
Hello.
This is episode 166. That's 166 of our weekly All Things Horror podcast. We end the spooky season with a Halloween trip through the remainder of the Night of the Demons franchise. Battling through all the horny teenagers. Sometimes the bit of story trying to poke through. Sometimes there's nothing at all. And sometimes the franchises get put out to pasture. Join us to see if these sequels are worth returning to Hull House.
Well, mostly return to Hull House.
Well, two out of the three. That's all that matters.
Exactly.
So it's Night of the Demons 2, Night of the Demons 3, and then the 2010 remake of Night of the Demons. We already did the original one, I don't know when, a while ago.
In our Night Ofs.
Oh, yeah. So we did the original one. So now there's the two direct sequels to that and then the remake.
Well, let's face it. Well, there's not a lot to talk about in those movies.
there's really not. I mean, they're kind of similar. Anyway, so it kind of starts off with, of course, horny teenagers. Like, god damn, like a lot. It's just nonstop horny teenagers. Anyway, so we get introduced to all the characters. They don't really matter. There's, of course, like the nerdy girl. There's like the no nonsense like punk girl that has got like the bad boyfriends. It seems like there's more than one
with her transatlantic accent.
Yeah. So anyway, so they invite a bunch of people to a Halloween party at Hull House, which is the same house that the first movie took place in. And so they go to Hull House, and the kind of punkish girl and the two bad boys trick them into thinking there's a prank that they're going to sacrifice. Well, they were going to sacrifice a cat, which disappears and then disappears from the film. It never comes back. Mm-hmm. But then they like grab one of the people and then like they're going to stab the girl, but she like gets away. So then they stab the guy and they kind of cut away for a while. But then they come back and they're like, oh, ha, it was a big prank. Super funny.
Well, I mean, and the girl they're going to sacrifice was Angela's sister.
Right.
The first Mouse. Yeah.
Angela's sister, Mouse.
Yep.
I mean, in this movie takes place, what, like 6 years later?
6 years. Yeah.
So she would have been what, like 10 years old.
Yep.
I mean, obviously they're older than that. I'm just saying, like, I think they want them to be teenagers in this.
Oh, they do, because they even make a mention that they still have, in the next one, they said that they still have over a year left of school. And this is like a Catholic school that they all attend to, so they're teenagers. So probably 17.
Right.
If at best.
Yeah. So anyway, so they all like, go to this party. There's a couple like weird little things that happen, you know, like the kind of the start of Night of the Demons, but nobody really bites. And so they leave Hull House and they end up going to this big Halloween party at their school. And mm-hmm. It's a Catholic school. So there's a priest and a nun. That's the only staff of the entire school, apparently.
And enough to have multiple buildings on their campus and dorm. There's just two people in charge, which is
correct. Yeah. There's like the main priest and then one nun. And like they literally do all the teaching. And like, the boys are a class of like 10 and the girls are a class of like 10. And then there's like, I don't know, 100 people at the party. So
yeah,
I don't know how that math works, but whatever. So they go back to the party. And the one girl like brought lipstick with her that she had found in Hull House. And of course this lipstick somehow carries the spirit of Angela and the demons. And so she brings it home. She goes to use the lipstick. The lipstick turns into like a worm and, I guess for lack of a better term, sexually assaults her. And then she becomes one of the demons. So Angela, I guess just teleports there. I don't know. She just shows up.
Okay, so that lipstick is lipstick that Linnea Quigley just pushed through her nipple in the first one. And somehow that was able to get the demons through that underground stream that they couldn't pass. So somehow being in a lipstick case lets them escape Hull House.
Sure. It's not explained. in any way. It's just they're like, oh, you took something from the house? That's evil. I mean, that's literally the like amount of explanation that we get.
Yes.
So then all the kids are like partying to like terrible, terrible music. It's like they're partying to like death metal. I mean, like old school, like growling, screaming death metal. And they're trying to like dance.
In fairness to them, the only records they had before that was Neil Diamond.
And yeah, but Neil Diamond is like, it's at least got a rhythm to it.
I'm like, just saying, they're like, they're trying to rebel in their Catholic school way.
I mean, I get that. I get that. I had my death metal phase. I'm not saying I didn't. I'm just saying, like, you can't dance to it.
No,
you can't. The only thing you can do to it is violence. That's it. That's the only thing you're allowed to do when you're listening to death metal is brooding or violence.
Mm-hmm.
So they have this big party, and of course, demons kind of break out and then eventually just like attack all the kids at the party. And of course, everybody that they attack becomes demons. So there's just like super demons everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then they weaponize holy water, because the one nerd kid like summoned a demon
in the sacristy.
In
the holiest place of the entire church, he was able to summon a demon. We'll get to that point, but yeah,
right.
They weaponized their keg of holy water.
Right. Yeah. So they have like a super soaker full of holy water and like water balloons full of holy water, and somehow the fucking nun has a yardstick that's like holy or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But they all dress up in their like Jesus clothes, and then for reasons they have to go back to Hull House.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why the demons would go back there, like when they're not there now, because they don't really explain that part, do they? No, they decide that when they go on the assault to the demons, they have to go back to Hull House. So like they go there and they're fighting demons, and they end up saving somebody by putting holy water in their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
It was the girl from Dodgeball.
or Hey Dude,
I didn't watch Hey Dude, but I did watch
Ben Stiller's wife. Yes, Marcia Brady.
Yes. So she gets saved by they poured holy water down her throat, and that saves her. It doesn't save anybody else ever through the rest of the movie. They talk about, oh look, it saved her, and then like no one else. They literally put holy water in their mouth, and nobody else is saved by this. Just that one girl. Anyway, so they go to the house, the priest ends up getting killed, and they fight and battle the fucking demons, and they burn them all, and then that's like they're like all kinds of like wackiness ensues with like beheading people with a yardstick and like exploding them with fucking holy water and blah blah blah, the end. Saved everybody.
Yeah, I know this is your first time seeing it.
Yes, it is.
I know you like. I know you like all
of these. I haven't seen any of these.
I know you like the first Night of the Demons.
I do. The first Night of the Demons is like, it's cheesy, but it has a lot of interesting stuff. I rewatched it before the sequels to be able to tell to have it close by as to like what the differences are and like what's good and what's bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I did rewatch Night of the Demons before I watched these. I'm kind of glad I did, but no, I really like the first one. The first one has like a kind of unique charm. Like the characters are pretty unique and interesting for a shitty, 80s horror movie. But they're interesting. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of like horniness, but it's explained. Like there's reasons for it in that movie. And again, I'm not saying it's not cheesy. It is. A lot of cheesy, goofy shit happens, but it's like, by the time we get to the cheesy, goofy shit, it's like, it's kind of expected, it's like demons doing demon shit.
Right.
And I really feel like these sequels, at least two and three, did not quite get the memo of what the spirit of the movie is supposed to be.
Oh, they lose their punk.
Right.
For sure.
Right.
I think
they tried to like up the, oh, like we're going to up the punk to death metal, and it just does not work.
I mean, a lot of people feel like that's how people that listen to punk transition was into death metal. And they're not necessarily wrong.
I mean, I'm sure there was some people that went there, but that's like, that's a hell of a jump. Like there's a spectrum, and that they're like, and I'm not going to say they're on two ends of it. I'm just saying, but there's a lot in between.
Yeah. Well, I think the second and third one are very 90s, like hard 90s, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I really enjoyed the first Night of the Demons. And the second one's okay-ish. It's almost like, I was watching something, it's almost like the Return of the Living Dead 2. The first Return of the Living Dead was pretty good. Second one was like a soulless company cash grab. And that's what this one feels like. Like, hey, we need a new movie. What can we revive from the 80s? It's now like basically all slashers are dead. Oh man, remember Night of the Demons? We should do a sequel to that. Okay.
Badly.
Badly.
But yeah. I mean, they got Angela to come back.
Yeah. Oh yeah. She comes back for 2 and 3. Yes. But yeah, it just feels off. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Especially when you watch them in quick succession. You don't realize how off it feels. Like if you watched it for a couple of years in between, you don't necessarily notice it as much.
Well, again, that's why I wanted to make sure I rewatched the first one to like get, you know, to get the feel for that one and then jump into these with that on mind, because these are sequels. So
yeah. Yeah. I typically, if I rewatch Night of the Demons, I do 1, 2 and the remake. And that's it. I generally skip 3.
I mean, you could skip 2.
Yeah. You want your highlights first? You want me to go first?
I can go first.
Okay.
There's not a whole lot here, but one, Jehovah's Witnesses get killed.
Mm-hmm.
That's always fun. Two, the prank sacrifice was actually a pretty good prank.
Yes,
like they were all on board. They did a really good job of like, you know, kind of like being dicks to people and like, you know, kind of like putting them on edge and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like they did an excellent job with that prank. I will say that. I mean that. Ends like what, a third of the way through the movie. I mean, it doesn't do a lot for the story, but it was a good solid prank that they did well.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to say it was fucking hilarious watching the kids try to dance to death metal. I'm sure they were dancing to something else.
It's because they're almost all the Crispin Glover dances from
right.
Friday.
It's just like you can't dance to it. Like I mean, yeah, there's a rhythm, but the rhythm is so fast. What do you, again, if it's not like violence, I don't know what you're going to be doing. It's so bizarre, but funny to watch. That's all I got.
Yeah. I thought it was hysterical that, you know, that they had just this random bed in the whole house that was like pristine in every way, shape and form.
Well, it's because they needed a long extended sex scene.
They did.
When else are they going to do it?
Yeah.
On musty, you know, cobweb blankets? Of course not.
Yeah. I thought the hands coming out of the boobs and being toxic was funny. Stupid and cheesy, but funny.
But I mean, it's just like ridiculous. Like,
yeah.
They spent money on that effect.
They could have spent it in lots of other places.
Right.
I feel like the references to the first one weren't slap you over the head. I feel like they're very subtle to a lot of things. You know what I mean? It wasn't like a shot for shot remake of them trying to just redo the same thing 6 years later. So I do appreciate that. And it's always interesting when evil escapes their confines, right? He's like, oh, if you don't go to the whole house, you really can't do anything. But no, it escapes through lipstick because it's shielded from the underground strip.
Which doesn't make sense.
No, that's
because,
all.
Like they're not touching the stream if they're walking over the ground above it.
Correct.
So I don't understand how. Whatever. I'm not gonna be able to make sense of it. But yeah.
Well, I mean, that wasn't always a thing that Dracula would couldn't cross running water. Right.
Right.
So I would think the underground stream would be the same idea.
Streams don't go in a circle.
No. So there's one path
that doesn't make any sense.
It's a running moat.
I'm just saying, like, what? I mean, if you put like a big fan in the water, does that make it running? I mean, again, we're gonna have to think about this.
Mm-hmm. I'll roll in my low points. Angela's teeth are even worse special effects in this one. Her voice is, I know it's the same person, but the voices, demon voices, it's tell your 8-year-old to do a demon voice, and that's the voice you get.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's exactly what's happening.
It is. The nerd summoning a demon in church, like, I don't know why you would think that would work to begin with. The holy place is somehow a demon's going to be able to be summoned there, and it works.
Well, that's what I was saying. And then, like, holy stuff hurts it later. I'm like,
right.
I'm pretty sure it would have hurt to exist in the church.
Yeah. Well, next to the holy water container. Yeah.
Right.
Well,
I'm just saying, like, it's a holy place. Like, yeah. And you get called into it. I'm pretty sure you would just, like, explode.
Correct. Yeah. So that, it, for some reason, I wanted to do the jump scare, and that was all stupid. The map, it's like it's an 8-year-old's buried treasure map. Here's the house, and look, they're going here. Well, that's Hull House. How the hell do you know? There's like 2 different roads they could take. Like, that map is would not get anyone.
There's no like X. There's no like arrow pointing where. It's like, it's okay. It's a bad map of an area, but doesn't say where in that they're going.
Correct. And as we saw when that other guy turned the sign, there's 2 roads. Like, they could have gone a different direction. You don't know where the hell they were.
Right.
Like I said, it lost the punk entirely, and my goodness, that CGI snake at the end was just so bad. So bad. They lean more in the CGI with the next one. This was the start of it, I feel.
We'll talk about the next one when we get there.
Yeah. That's about all I have. How about you?
Okay, I will say whoever was the spiderweb guy on this movie, mm-hmm. like, way overdid his job. I mean, there's spiderwebs on literally every fucking thing in that entire house, like, all over everything.
Mm-hmm.
It was too much. This is what happens when you put kids in Catholic school, right? They mm-hmm. get, like, so overstimulated that they just want to bone, like, everything in sight. So, if you don't want horny kids, don't send them to Catholic school. Again, I've known girls from Catholic school, and they're by far the horniest girls I ever knew. So,
yeah.
Well, and during that time, I'm sure when they get older, they calm down. But
yeah.
When they go like, oh, look, it's Hull House. And they look at the house. It is like a low res still frame of the house. Like, there's no movement. There's nothing. It's just like you can barely tell what it is. It's mm-hmm. like they're looking through a potato. It is. Wow, it is bad. Like, I literally laughed out loud. It was so stupid looking. There's a guy wearing a Halloween costume of Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
He's literally just like, you know, a white dude wearing a bandana, like buttoning the top button of his flannel shirt. And that's his entire costume. Like, it's cultural appropriation, friend. Don't do that. I guess it's 1994. I guess it's okay. I thought the lipstick sexual assault was unnecessary. I think you could have like done just about any other thing to like get the demons to infect you. Like a kiss, like they do in every other one. Like, mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So the best part of the first movie was Angela's dance to Bauhaus's Stigmata Martyr, right?
And fun fact, she choreographed the dance herself.
Oh, I'm sure she did because mm-hmm. it's great. Mm-hmm. It's perfect. But anyway, this one is like a really terrible downgrade to where she like flails around to a death metal song for like maybe a whole 15 seconds
mm-hmm.
and that's it. It's done.
She also choreographed that one.
Oh,
she choreographed all the dances and the ones
she said. The second one is like you could tell she was out of practice.
Yeah.
The first one was great. So mm-hmm. this second one sucked. And then just like holy crap, dude, that end battle was so fucking cheesy. Like pop up like, oh, let me give you some head, and then like cuts his head off like, holy Christ, this is terrible. And the whole, I mean, just the Jesus fight in general was just dumb as fuck. It was a very cheesy shit ending to a very shitty movie.
Mm-hmm.
It just upset me. I didn't like it. That's all I got.
All right, what are our olives this week?
We're going over sex teens because all of these movies are you know, teens. I think the longest you wait to see breasts in these films is in the remake, and I think you have to wait a whole 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of these, it's like within 30 seconds, there are breasts.
Oh, multiple. The guys are like, hey, we're just finding their girls. They're just walking around naked at all times in the dorm room.
Right.
And they're pretty much, the guys are pretty much just naked as well.
Right. And I was all like, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, do women go over to other women's houses and just like change their underwear in front of other women? Like, is that that's not a thing. Like, that doesn't happen.
That's what movies make us believe.
I know they want you to believe that, but like, that's not a thing. Like, do I stand around in my underwear with other dudes in their underwear looking at naked women through binoculars? Like,
no.
No, what the fuck? That's a personal moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, you know, I don't know. Some people, when they try to like imagine teenagers, they're always like in their underwear and they're always doing sexy stuff. I don't understand why, but some people are just, that's right. every time teens are involved, that's what they do.
Oh, we'll get into that in the next movie too, because she literally just gets naked. I'm going to take a shower as like strip naked and stand in front of your mirror.
Right. I was saying, she like, oh, you scared me. And like, she's just like naked.
Yep.
Like, oh, come on in. Let's hang out. Like, put on a shirt. What the fuck are you doing? It was, it's weird. Anyway. Yep. You want me to go?
I just looked up what we gave the first Night of the Demons. I gave it an 8. You gave it 6.5. That helps our references. So, why don't you go first?
Night of the Demons 2, 1994. 2.
Oh man, I can't wait to see what the next one's gonna be from you. Yeah, this is definitely a huge, huge drop in quality of what was a fantastic first movie, especially for it being a late 80s movie. I will go down to 5 over 16 out of 10. It's just, they try to do something different and they try to make it as 90s as possible, and it just failed a lot. So, all right. So I will take us through Night of the Demons 3. There's, I would say, even less that happens in this movie than the second one. We get our group of people, like we said, you know, there's a girl that brothers are all bursting down here while she's naked. And not there just to scare her. Then her friend comes over. She's like, hey, I'm going to get naked too and stand in front of the mirror. Cool. Now I'm in the shower. I'm like, what? I think it'd be weird if I walked over to your, came over to your house and said, hey, and just get naked. I'm like, I need a shower.
Well, okay. There are like instances where that's okay. Like, if I made you like do work in my backyard,
yeah,
and you're like all sweaty, and then you were like spend the night here for whatever reason, like okay, then it's an acceptable time. But like, I wouldn't be standing with you in the room when you're undressing to get ready for the shower. That's not a thing that would happen.
No,
but like if you just came over casually, like oh, we're gonna go out tonight. Okay, well I'm just gonna change and go take a shower in your house while we're getting ready to go. Like no.
Why wouldn't you do that before coming over?
Right. Like, what the fuck were you doing before this?
Yeah, but clearly stunt body.
Oh, yeah. It's like all of a sudden she's naked and then we only see her from the neck down.
Yep. Yeah. So anyway, the cheerleader and her friend, who's, they're dressed as, you know, cat and cheerleader, and they go and they get picked up by the singer, the older brother from Hanson. Or Chad Kroeger, I guess you can call him. the you know, guy that would always have like the switchblade with them in the van. They're going to a party and they pick up those two girls and they go like, hey, we're gonna go to Hall House. By the way, we have to go to this quickie mart.
And no, they weren't planning on going to Hall House.
That's true. Yeah. But they're gonna go out. And like, hey, we're gonna go to this quickie mart. And you know, they're being dicks. The quickie mart guy pulls a gun. You know, he comes around and like, oh shit, and steals the gun. And cops just happen to come in. They're like, guys, like, yeah, fuck this, and shoots one of the cops, blasts him through a window. I'm like, shit, we kill a cop. There's a shootout. The black guy gets shot. He's bleeding out pretty much the rest of the movie.
until he apparently turns into a demon at the end.
Yeah, and they're like, oh shit, we're on the run now. And they're like, we're all in this together. And then like, oh, the cops shot the gas tanks. Like, oh, we got to go to this house. And look, we're at Hull House, and Angela's there. And I'd say, in her human form, the longest of any movie that she's in.
Yeah. I'll talk about that, because it's a very bizarre beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with her. It's we'll talk about it.
But yeah, but you see, it's just a cop that shows up at the beginning. It's like, oh, you can't live here. I'm the law, blah, blah, blah. She turns in. But yeah, they eventually get to Hull House. And I don't know if this is just because the nerd kid, right? The guy that was driving this, wearing the devil's mask. And the first thing I saw him in was Are You Afraid of the Dark before this movie. And all I can picture this movie as is a little bit R-rated Are You Afraid of the Dark episode. It's really stupidly cheesy. It's really bad.
It is stupidly cheesy, but there's way too many naked people for it to be Are You Afraid of the Dark.
But, you know, I mean, it just feels like if they just cut a couple scenes, it could have been an Are You Afraid of the Dark episode. like I said, I think it's just because that guy's in that show, so that's why it's always been correlated in my mind. But yeah, essentially, like, hey, we gotta do all the stuff, and Angela shows up. She sucks the bullets out of a gun, which we'll talk about later. You know, because I don't know how you can suck bullets, you know, from the, you know. Well,
she's also a supernatural being,
I guess. But yeah, essentially, she kisses the nerd and sticks her tongue through his head, and he's dead. She, you know, kisses the cat and all that stuff, and everything's just being sexually transmitted at this point in time, and everyone's pretty much dying and becoming demons. Like, there's not a whole lot to talk about the rest of that stuff. You know, the black guy dies and becomes a demon, and everyone's just becoming a demon, and like the worst Timu version of Night of the Demons you could possibly think of. like their masks are becoming part of them. Like the cat becomes kind of a cat. The guy where demon mask becomes like the mask melts on his face, and all of a sudden he's a demon and all that crap.
The lady with the snake hand was my favorite.
Yeah, there's like a sock puppet, and she became like a cobra on it. I'm like, oh, cool. But yeah, so there's people trying to escape there because one guy, a singer from Hanson, is trying to figure out what the hell is going on there.
Is he really the singer from Hanson?
He looks like him.
Oh, okay. Right.
He looks like.
No, I don't know who that is. So.
I'm saying he looks a lot like the singer.
Okay. I was making sure it wasn't actually that person.
No, like I said, he looks like him or Chad Kroeger.
Okay, there we go.
But yeah, that typical late 90s hairstyle. But yeah, they're trying to figure out how to get away from the crazy guys, because there's guys with guns and they're just really to shoot everyone. So they're like, hey, we're going to try to escape. And eventually, like, all this is going on there. There's a detective who is officially retiring at midnight. Therefore, is going to work this last case. But like, oh, after midnight, I'll do citizen's arrest. Like, I'm not sure how that's how it works when you retire. Like, why would you take that case if you're going to be the only homicide department? But they find out that the cop was wearing bulletproof vest, and he's like, hey, you got to return the money, because the guy's like, oh, they took the money. Like, we looked at the security cameras. No, they didn't. You're a liar. And they're fine. He eventually traces them down to Hull House after checking all the other pig farms in town.
Barns.
Yeah. He's
looking for barns.
Yeah. But eventually they get there. He's like, oh, man, we're going to get you out of here. And Angela's whole thing is like, hey, we can kill you, but we can't take your souls. We need a virgin soul. So that cheerleader, she's a virgin. She's coming with us. I'm like, I feel like you're picking the wrong friend.
I don't know. Sometimes the mousy ones get crazy.
But anyway, like, yeah, we'll trade it. Like, haha, jinx, magic trick. Yeah, we tricked you. Haha, we're going to escape now. Oh, look, they can't get past the underground stream. There's a vortex or force field surrounding the place. They can't get through. It's like, oh, man. Oh, no, the guy. We got to go back for him. Well, okay, cool. And they go back for the guy or the girl. And like, yeah. And the guy just minutes after retirement gets his heart plunged through his stomach, and they kind of pull Angela kind of through the force field, and she melts through the force field and the sun, and all the other demons are just kind of in the windows by themselves, never showing the full shot, because I think they only had enough budget for one window to shoot.
Well, they're also like dancing like they were go-go girls or something, like,
correct,
in yeah. The window, they were just like doing weird wiggle dances. Like,
yeah,
I don't know what the fuck that was all about.
And the cheerleader and her new boyfriend that was in school for like a week goes, hey, we are gonna come back every Halloween, because that's when the veil's the thinnest, and to make sure that they can never do this again. And we just hear the demon laugh. And that's last we see of this Angela.
Yeah, and then the franchise is over. So apparently it worked.
It did not die a whisper. It shat itself and then died. This movie's awful. It's like I said, I remember going through Night of Demons when like the 2010 came out, and like I don't think I saw Night of Demons 3, or maybe I did it in a very long time, but like I'm like, I skip this one. Hands down skip this one any chance I get. When the 2010 came out, I'm like, maybe this would be better, and it feels better, but I mean, what was your first thoughts on Night of Demons 3?
I think my first thoughts were how bad that intro CGI was.
Oh, with the like ghosts, the
flying people. Yeah. I was like, wow, this is like a for real movie intro. Like that set the whole stage, and it never got better than that.
No. Yeah, it's CGI. This is very 90s. It felt like it would try to be like a sci-fi movie. Essentially too, but yeah, just budgets just kept dropping. I'll do my highlights first. At least it's pretty much at Hull House, and evil is still contained within it, so it's almost like a return to form, if you will. Yeah, that's about it. How about you?
I do like the retiring detective guy. I think he's a fun character. Again, I have one here that I wrote down, and for the life of me, I can't figure out what the fuck it says. So we're just gonna skip over them. Angela's motives, right, in this movie, at least in the beginning of this film, it seems like she's trying to be good.
Yeah.
Right? It seems like she's trying to, like, help people. It's very bizarre. I was like, are we seriously gonna have a Night of the Demons where Angela becomes a good person and she's like somehow the hero? I know they do that sometimes. They do that with these sequels. They just decide to take like the worst person and make them a kind of anti-hero, like, oh, I guess I'll begrudgingly help people with my magic murder powers,
right?
Which they do sometimes, but like this, I was like, are they seriously going this way? Like, it seemed like they were.
Oh, yeah, because she's helping people escape with the crazy guy.
Right, she was, like, dancing for the crazy guy so that those people could escape, and they left. If they would have walked out the gate, they would have survived.
Yep.
Like, no one stopped them walking out the gate. They were just trying to fuck around with the car to, like, even though the car was out of fucking gas.
Right.
They were still, like, trying to hotwire the car. Like, they should have just left, like, walked out, and they would have survived. Like, would not have been a problem.
Or taking the cop car that was not out of gas.
Well, to be fair, they didn't know it was there. It was like hidden on the other side of the house. But it was very weird. Like, she like defused the guy with the gun, and then like she like took the bullets out of the gun, and then like killed the mean guy that was like holding them at gunpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, are you telling me she's gonna go and like kill all the bad people? And then she didn't. and then she just changed her mind and became like a demon. Like, again. But I was like, what, like, I don't understand the beginning of this. Like, what was the point of that? I think the original version of this script had her being a kind of anti-hero that killed the people. I bet you in the original script, they actually did kill a cop. And I think that she kind of earned her anti-hero status by killing the people who killed the cop.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you're actually rooting for her to kill these people because they're bad. Is what I think the original script for this was. Why they changed it, I'm not sure. Probably some studio guy was like, you can't do that. You can't have a demon be a good person. They probably changed it. Because it was 97. But still, it's still interesting enough in the beginning. I mean, they ruined it. It didn't even last halfway through the movie, and then it became stupid. But it was an interesting intro that I thought was going to go somewhere, and it did not.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it for my high points. I can't understand what this other one says. So we're just going to not worry about that one. We'll be going to my low points here.
Yep.
Okay, so that CGI intro, man. Mm-hmm. Holy cats. That was... Wow. It's like, I mean, video games of the time period had better fucking cutscenes than that. It was like turd people flying through the air without any kind of wind resistance or even wiggles or ripples or anything. It was just, they're just floating, pushing through the air. And then they were like clearly two dimensional because you could see through them at certain points. Oh my God. It's mm-hmm. You have to see it to believe it. It is so, so, so bad. The fake sweat in this movie is ridiculous. Like, I don't know if somebody's like got a bad sprayer and just kept spraying them over and over and over again, but there's people with like full on like water just dripping down their face. Like, I understand you're trying to make them like look like they're sweating, but they look like they just went swimming. That's different. Now, Angela has another dance in this film. I don't know what she's dancing to. It sounds like chanting, like mm-hmm. tribal chanting. And then there's like, there's beats in the song, but it's after she dances. So it's not, the beat isn't there, but while she's dancing, it shows up like after she's done. It's very bizarre. And I don't even know how to do it, but her dance is even worse, I think, in this one than it was in the second one. Yes. It was not good. Mm-hmm. I think you talked about before the face transforms and how bad they are. That snake hand, it is so bad. It's like mm-hmm. literally like, what are they, the Animorphs? You know, from those book covers of like the yeah. shitty like kid turning into a lobster, whatever the fuck it is. Yeah. Like, it looked that bad. It was very, very bad. Now the demon explosion, I use that, you know, in quotes, explosion. It was just like they walked through like a ripple of Stargate, right?
Yep.
And then like the demon tries to go through and it's just like fireworks and he explodes.
Yeah.
He explodes into nothingness. And then in the next scene, he's just standing there.
Yep.
I was like, he exploded. Like, he's dead. But no, he just came back. I was like, oh, okay. I guess they could just run into that as many times as they want. Whatever. Mm-hmm. The guns in this film have unlimited ammo.
Yes.
They have shotguns and revolvers that just shoot. I don't know. I mean, I stopped counting. But they were like, I believe the revolver was up to 20. And I think the shotgun was up to like 25.
Oh, yeah.
I finally remembered what my other high point was.
Oh, what's that?
The cop shooting in the intro, the reasons for them getting there, I thought was interesting. Right? Especially since like they shot a cop and they thought they killed the cop, but the cop didn't really die, but they don't know that until the end.
Right.
But anyway, that whole intro of like, you know, the cop shooting one of them and then them shooting the cop. And then that's how they get to the house. It was an interesting intro, I thought.
Okay.
But yeah, but again, like I talked about, I think the original script of this was probably more fun.
I was reading a little bit. They're like, oh, it's just to see if there's troubles with the script. There was troubles with the script.
Yeah.
And the guy who created these, he goes, this was the best one of the three, but they cut all the scenes that made it good.
Right. I want to say that in the original script, that was probably, you know, they might have cut it because it was bad writing or whatever. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, I think the original script of this was her trying to be the anti-hero,
mm-hmm.
killing off the people who killed the cop and helping their hostages get out of the house.
Yeah.
And that's why she was the original script. Yeah.
And that's why she was human for so long.
Correct.
Yeah. That makes sense. I can see that.
That's what I think. I mean, about halfway through, they just gave up and just, you know, she was her normal demon self. But in the beginning there, I really felt like she was trying to like redeem herself or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's all I got.
Yeah. As you said, just atrocious. Bad CGI, as you said, they set the tone with this entire movie by the intro. That's just embarrassing. Once again, voices are still bad. It's cheesy as hell. And you can tell this is the 90s because we have an entire Your Mama joke.
A lot of them. Like, a ton of them.
I'm like,
and none of them are new. None of them are new.
No. I'm just like, yep. Definitely in the 90s. late 90s too. We all did it, right? I know I did it growing up at that time frame. So I guess it. They talk about the body double, but my God, like every time someone's talking, it's a close up of their head. It's just pretty much the entire movie. You know what I mean? It's all talking heads, which is like ridiculous. I'm like, that's a head. It's a head. There's another head. They're just talking in the head. Like, there's more to them. Like, I don't know why it was done that way. Like I said, I feel like they only had one window for them to be go-go demons. Well, at.
When the guy and the girl were like making out for like 30 minutes standing up in the stairwell, like showed their whole body.
Yeah. I'm just saying, but it's mostly heads. Like the guy was, I said so many close-ups, like way too many close-ups of everything of their head.
Yeah.
So, this movie is really bad. That's all I got. I will go first for a number of over 16 out of 10. This is dropping down to like a one for me. It's, I cannot stand this movie. How about you?
I dislike it about as much as I dislike the other one. But this one, I don't know. There was a lot of potential to do something interesting and they just failed. Mm-hmm. But I'll do 1.5.
1.5. All right. Cool.
All right. So now we're doing the remake that came out in 2010. Mm-hmm. Now it starts off with like a little kind of old timey, like 1925 silent film, which kind of gives us the premise of the movie where it was like a lady brings a bunch of people over for a seance. Something happens. We don't find out at this point. And she kills herself by hanging herself off the balcony.
Not at Hull House.
Well, and then this universe is Hull House.
Oh, but.
So she kills herself and then all the people in the house were never found. So mm-hmm. they assume that they're all dead, blah, blah. So anyway, that's the reputation that this house has. This universe's Angela basically makes a huge party at this house. We get a bizarre scene of like Eddie Furlong, like having to like talk to his drug provider to like, you got to sell more drugs. I don't know what the point of that scene was, but it's there. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that, I guess they give you the reason as to why, like, you know, an older dude is like at the kid's party, I guess. But then they made him like directly connected to one of the girls, like that he was like her boyfriend. It's like, what the fuck? It's a very confusing relationship. I don't know. Like they must have like shoehorned Eddie Furlong in there. They were like probably fishing around to see who they could get. And then when Eddie Furlong bit, they were like, oh shit, we got to rewrite this part for Eddie Furlong. Like, I think that's what happened. I don't think the character was Eddie Furlong anyway. So yeah, they have the big party. They all get there. There's like two girls that are both cats and like a bunch of tools and they just go to this party. And it seems like a pretty cool Halloween party, right? They got like the lights and an open bar and like, you know, spooky music. You know, just, it seems like a really cool party and everybody's all having a good time. Eddie Furlong's dealing drugs. And then like the cops show up and shut the whole party down.
Mm-hmm.
Which is super fucking lame. So, they all kind of get chased out. They come back in because they lost one of their friends who had like drank too much and passed out within like the 30 minutes that they were there. And then Eddie Furlong, you know, stuffed his drugs in the vent because the cops were there. So he's like, I got to get my drugs back. Can I get in the basement? So anyway, so they all kind of like hang out and drink for a little while. And then they go in the basement to find Eddie's drugs. And they find a hidden room in the basement, but he finds his drugs in there. But they also find six dead bodies.
Yep.
Like that had been there and rotting since like 1925. So they figured out what happened to the other six people. We get kind of a little background info is that, you know, the girl had a seance with all these other people. she hung herself because, you know, supposedly they were demons, and she hung herself so that they couldn't complete their ritual.
Right.
And they know all that because the maid, which I'm like, wouldn't the maid have been a seventh?
Yes.
I was very confused about that. Anyway, so the maid retreated to her room and wrote out not only the description of what happened, but also all these spells and symbols along the walls to like protect her from the demons, which somebody just plastered over and didn't bother cleaning. Apparently, it,
only on the walls. That's very important.
Right. So like, anyway, so they're down there. One of the skeletons like bites, like, you know, they stick in their finger in the mouth and it bites the girl. So of course that's how the demons start. Because the girl got bit, and then they're like making out with each other and then having sex with each other. And it's like an STD that essentially just infects everybody. And so everybody becomes a demon. I think at the very end, we basically get down to like Eddie Furlong, his like uncomfortably young girlfriend.
Yeah.
And then there's like a couple other ones, but they eventually die. So, and it kind of boils down to like they're fighting demons. They figure out that somehow rust hurts them.
Okay. Rusted iron. Now, I'll say this point right now. They get anything that's rusty. I'm telling them right now, iron's not the only thing that rusts.
Well, I'm very confused as to how the logic of that works.
Iron is pure. And the whole idea in lore is that iron hurts fae, hurts.
I'm just saying,
but they said, but it's tainted, so therefore it's not pure anymore. Therefore, the unpure hurts the unpure.
That doesn't, it makes no fucking sense. They're talking, correct, like they literally say, like, well, you know, being, you know, demons are like ancient beings, and then like iron is like an ancient thing.
Yeah,
what?
Wait, it's not.
By that logic, everything is, because everything's made from something else. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah, they're like, whole thing. Well, and then rust on an ancient thing, it makes it, yeah, impure. So like impurity kills demons. Like, this is the weirdest logic I've ever heard of. Anyway, we'll talk about that later. So yeah, they're fighting, they have like a gun, but it doesn't really do anything. So they kind of, you know, keep getting whittled down, and they keep getting attacked, and there's all kinds of like sexy demon stuff happening. We do get an Angela dance scene that I think is pretty good.
Yes.
We'll talk about that later too. But so they, you know, get all through that. They're in the room with all the symbols. They scrape everything off the walls, and they're like, oh, okay, we'll be fine. We just hang out in this room. And then of course the demons trick them, and they all come out of the room. And they all die except for the girl, who basically runs back up into the room and then goes all like Rambo and like takes a shotgun and like dumps a bunch of rusty nails in the barrel of the shotgun.
And nails are not iron. Yes.
I mean, old timey nails might be, I guess. I don't yeah, know. Maybe they were blacksmith nails. Yeah. So anyway, she's like putting nails in shotgun shells. She's like got like, I don't know, a spring that she wrapped around her hand. I mean, it's all these like ridiculously stupid weapons. And then she basically just like fights all the zombies and then fights her way out, and then like she gets to the gate, and it's the next morning, and all, and the demons are gone in the morning, because if they don't get seven people, they didn't succeed, so they have to get seven people in one night in order to like escape their bonds. So she like tricks them, and she like jumps off the balcony pretending to hang herself,
mm-hmm,
but somehow she ties the rope around her waist. And also her head. I don't know how that works. I don't think I would trust myself with nuts like that. But she does it. And then, you know, the demons are all like, oh no, she, you know, died. I guess we failed. And they just leave. And then she unties herself and it goes, oh, demons ain't that smart, I guess.
Yep.
And then like walks out the gate, and that's it. That's the mm-hmm end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
your first thoughts?
I will say I enjoyed this one more than I enjoyed the other two.
Oh, easily.
Which is, I did not expect that. I expected this one to be probably the worst of the three, just looking at them. But I was pleasantly surprised that this one was better. It's not good. It's not a good film, but it is better than I thought it was going to be. There's some interesting stuff here.
Yeah.
But I think if I had to kind of sum it up, I think it stays true to the spirit of the original. You know, what the original was trying to like convey, I think this one understands that spirit and tries to retell it in a modern way. It doesn't really hit, but at least it tried. At least it tried and stayed true to that spirit of the first one.
Like we've had some, you know, the 2000s gave us really bad horror movie reboots, and I think this is kind of an exception to that. I mean, it's way better than The Fog. It's way better than a lot of other things.
The Fog is one of my least favorite movies ever.
Yeah, so I'm like, yes, it keeps the spirit, but I think it does it in a good modern retelling of it. So I think it's a decent reboot of a movie, for especially a horror movie that. It could have been like, you know, like 9th or 10th Hellraiser production wise and just shit, right? But no, I think it's a good reboot for this franchise.
For this franchise, yes.
Yeah. So, do you want to do your highlights first?
Sure.
Okay.
I did like the old timey, like, silent film intro. That was fun. I mean, they literally had the little, you know, text cards and everything. It was done well. Now, there are some great songs in this movie. Mm-hmm. There's some bad songs, but there are some great songs. Concrete Blonde, Bloodletting the Vampire song is one of my very favorites. And they play it not once, but twice in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very good. And then, of course, Angela's dance in this one, again, stays true to the original. It has that same energy and the same, like, song that you probably shouldn't dance to, because like, again, in the first one, Bauhaus is not something you dance to,
right?
And this one, she dances to Typo Negative Black Number One. She dances to that. Like, it's not a song you would imagine a sexy dance happening to, but it does. It really does encapsulate the spirit of the first one. I don't know if Shan Elizabeth danced as well as Angela did in that first movie, but it was all right. It was fun. It kept that same energy going. I liked that. That party looked like it was pretty fun.
Yes,
like I would want to go to that, but that would be a cool party to go, like a cool Halloween party to go to.
Oh, easily with free shots. I mean, you have covered door charge, but it's with that
$10 for open bar. That's the same.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I think Shannon Elizabeth, Eddie Furlong, is this their rock bottom?
Yes.
I was like, you know, this has got to be the rock bottom for both of these guys, and I am here for it because they do a pretty good job. Eddie Furlong plays like this bored, like, I'm probably going to die tomorrow.
Yep.
Like, older guy that really doesn't want to fucking be here and like is only really concerned about himself. He plays that role awesome. I don't know if that's just him. He wasn't reacting. I don't know, but I was trying to like envision that, and I think he nailed it. I don't know if that was acting or not, but whatever. I thought it was great. And Shan Elizabeth, I think, did a great job as Angela. It's like she really encapsulated the energy of the first one, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, the first one, she tried to plan the party. She didn't plan that big of a party. This one, she planned a hell of a party, right?
Yep.
But it's like the same energy. You know, she wanted to be like the star of the Halloween show. And I, you know, that was, I think it stayed true to it. I think it was pretty fun. That's all I got for high points.
Oh, for me, yeah, better production, especially over the last two.
Well, yeah,
for sure. As you said, I like it's not just a straight remake. It tells a different story. It's the only person that's the same, supposed to be the same, is Angela. Everyone else is new. So like I said, it's not a shot for shot remake. I said they used good music again, which is fantastic. The Linnea Quigley cameo was great, you know, because it's her.
You know, that's on my other side. We'll talk about
that. Okay.
Well, you want me to talk about it now? They made her bend over.
I know.
Like, she's in it for like a second. It's a cameo.
Yep.
But they made her bend over like she did in the original one. Like,
yep.
Really? You know, how many years later are you going to make her bend over as the cameo? That's lame as shit.
I felt bad for her. What do we call this disease? Demonitis? Because it's spread by kissing, bites, and sex.
Danaherpes syphilidemons.
Yeah. I thought the guy's reaction to the lipstick scene was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Is your friend like into close-up magic? No, why?
I think you need to come see a dead
there's
body.
there's lots of blood. She like shoved it in her boob and pulled it. Like, it reminded me of the stoner from Cabin in the Woods, his energy right there. The way he delivered that scene. I thought this was hilarious. Yeah. And something that this is, you know, gorier than they really have been. You know, that it's the dark blood formula that's to be used, right? It's not the Savini anymore, it's the dark blood, like the Saw blood. Okay, so what is that house that plays the music that plays at the end? Like, this is the House of New Orleans or something like that, right? House New Orleans.
Yeah. That's Concrete Blonde.
Okay. Did Rob Zombie sample that for This Is the House in House of Thousand Corpses? Because it sounds very familiar.
Probably.
I was writing notes down, I was looking down, all of a sudden I hear the song playing. I'm like, wait a minute, this is the House of the Thousand Corpses theme song by Rob Zombie. Like, I think he sampled it, and I just wrote that on as a positive because, like, I'd never noticed that before because I was really paying attention to the music in this.
I don't know, but I know Concrete Blonde and I love this song, but I don't know about the Rob Zombie version. I would have to hear it again.
Yeah, we'll talk about that afterwards. All right, I'll roll into my low points. Yes, it's not Hull House. I think it still should have been Hull House. Call it Hull House. Same thing could have happened there.
Well, I mean, it's New Orleans. I think the name that they use for that house is like one of the spooky like houses in New Orleans.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
But I like that they said that this house is abandoned, but has full electricity and running water. I'm like, that abandoned houses don't have that. Making that be a thing.
She rented it.
Ah, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure she did a lot of work to that place for that party, because there is a lot of cool stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's like literally like Christmas lights like covering entire rooms.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of work was put into this, and again, she's like talks about it like it's her dream house.
Yep.
So I'm pretty sure she's had it for a while and she's been like fixing it up, and this was like her kind of housewarming party is what it felt like to me.
Yeah. I don't think cops should have come and stopped the party.
No. You know, and I was sitting there like, what the fuck is this? And like, the cops, you can't just like show up and shut it down. Like, it's private fucking property.
And it's not like it's on the street. They had to walk to the front door. So right. It's secluded enough.
You can charge people to come to your house.
Yeah.
If you want, like, hey, I'm buying a bunch of beer. If you want to come in, you got to pitch in. That's not like, well, I don't know what the fuck they even said. It was like, oh, you're charging admission, so therefore, you know, it counts as like whatever. It was fucking bullshit. I was like, these fucking cops cannot do this.
Yeah.
Like, get them the especially on Halloween. What fucking, like, there was like 10 cops.
Mm-hmm.
10 cops are going to fucking bust a party of, you know, of age people drinking in their own home.
Yeah.
No, fuck that.
In New Orleans.
Dude, I've been at fucking parties where I was 16 years old. Everybody else in that party was 16 years old. The fucking cop came to the door. I opened the door. I said, you got a warrant? They said, no. I slammed the door in his fucking face. And you know what happened?
Nothing.
Nothing happened.
Yeah.
I was 16, obviously drunk. There's obviously a party happening. They can't do anything.
No.
Ugh. It was like, yeah. You know, I'm just sitting here like, there's no fucking way that fucking buzzkill bullshit. Anyway,
yeah,
I just liked the party. I was very upset.
Yeah, they need an excuse for everyone else to leave.
I get it. And, I mean, story-wise, I get it.
If they're shutting it down, they'd think to make sure everyone's out, not just.
Right, yeah, they literally came back like 2 minutes later, and the cops are all gone.
Yep, yeah.
It's like, why didn't everybody just walk around the block and
come right? Like that? As I said before, not all rusty things are iron. Okay. So they go, well, we were in this bathroom and the demons were able to get to us because there aren't spells on those walls. There's not spells on the ceiling or floor. They could have gone in any time, I feel like, if that was their reasoning. There also wasn't spells on the doors. What rules do these spells have?
I don't know. I mean, what's the range of the spells? Like, do they have a bubble effect?
I don't know. Maybe the idea of the spells was the same as that underground stream bullshit.
I don't know. It's they needed a safe room to have like exposition for them to talk about stuff while things are happening.
I guess. And the thing that always annoys me at parties when they have in the movies, like if you're having that many people there and you have shot glasses, you're not using glass shot glasses, you're using plastic.
They were plastic.
I thought they clinked together like glass.
No, they clinked together the bottles of
liquor. Oh, okay.
No, the shot glasses were plastic because I remember being like cheap fuckers. It's plastic.
Yeah. Well, it should be. No one's going to be washing all those glasses. At the end of the
well, if it's a party that you're charging admission to and you don't know all these people personally, yeah, you don't use real stuff. It's like one, they're going to break it, or two, they're going to steal it.
Yeah. And honestly, the demon designs were not good.
No. Yeah, they weren't. I mean, technically, they're better than the originals, I guess, but like they had less style to them, I guess.
They were like generic monster demons.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not sure how Eddie turned into a demon because he didn't die.
And the other guy that turned right before him looked identical to each other.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they had like two versions of the same mask. We're like, oh shit, we forgot to make another mask. Oh, just give them the same mask.
Yep.
Like, because they had the same exact mask. Like the their mouth was gone on the same side.
I'm yep.
Like, okay. You ran out of variety here?
Mm-hmm. Like I said, I don't know how Eddie changed. So, didn't die, didn't get kissed, didn't get fucked.
Right.
So he should have survived. All right, that's what I have. How about you?
Okay, we already talked about making poor Linnea quickly bend over. I was like, really? You couldn't just have her be somebody to give out candy? You got to make her bend over. That's mean. But again, yeah, cops can't shut down a private party. I was like, what? I was very upset. Okay, the wire work in this movie was horrible.
Yes.
I think there's only like one scene where they use it, but it is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Very bad. I think that lipstick scene was like very unnecessary. I agree that the scene directly after that of the guy like, you know, saying that was pretty amusing.
Yeah.
But like the lipstick scene itself was pretty unnecessary. Like Linnea Quigley in the original one, she did like, you know, this like spiral design. It was like kind of led up to what she did.
Right.
And this one, she just like, whoop, like right in, like there's no like intro to this. It was just like, okay. And then she just like coughed it out of her vagina with blood attached to it. It's like, okay. Yep. I just like how the guy was kind of like, all right. And he just left. He did like no comment, no nothing, walked out of the room.
Yeah.
That's probably what I would do too. Like, yeah, I'm not down with that.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Eddie Furlong was driving me insane. At the end of the movie, he's holding a lantern. The lantern clearly has a handle on the top. And he's holding it by the side.
Yep.
He's holding it. I'm like, what are you doing? It has a handle. Pick up the handle. Like, he's moving it around. The handle is clanking around.
They
just use the fucking handle.
They probably need it for lighting the low line there to have it on his face.
Like he can hold it up a slightly higher by the handle. Like,
yeah.
God, it was annoying the shit out of me because I have that same lantern and it's not hard to grab the handle. Anyway, and then we already talked about the whole stupid fucking iron rust, like they're fairy demons. And why is it specifically rusty metal? Like, it doesn't make any sense. I've never even heard of that
before. It should be not rusty metal.
I've heard of cold iron. Cold iron sometimes, depending on the world that you're in, sometimes hurts demons or
ghosts or
beings from other dimensions or fey, whatever it is. I've heard of cold iron hurting things. I've never heard of rust.
Correct.
Anything.
Correct.
It's bizarre. It's weird.
Yep.
That's all I got.
All right. How many over 16s out of 10 do you give this one?
You know, this one is definitely better than the other two. I won't say it's as good as the original, but it's pretty close. I'll give it a 5.5.
Yeah, I'm same boat as well. It's not as good as the original. I'm going to 7, though, because I enjoy this movie. It's kind of like a turn off your brain and forget it. It doesn't like make you mad for the most part.
Like I said, it takes the spirit of the original. It's goofy. It's fun, but it's not like overly schlocky, you know, like the cheesy stuff that's there is more fun than not. So again, but it takes the spirit of the original, and I think it truly does understand what the original was.
Yeah.
And made a new thing with that same energy. And I think it's pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Take us home.
All right. So now that spooky season is over, we can roll into the best month of the year. That's right. It's the month of me. That's right. Me, Salem. I get to choose themes and the movies that we watch for a whole month at the torture graveyard with movies that he doesn't want to watch, but I'm going to make him watch because he makes me watch movies of the other 11 months of the year. So that's right. No schlocky trash for at least 4 episodes.
Oh no.
So, we're going to kick off this adventure next week with, we're going to do Tetsuo the Iron Man and its sequels. Now, I haven't seen the second sequel, Tetsuo the Bullet Man. I've not seen that one.
Nor
I've
have
seen
I.
the original and the first sequel. I've not seen the Bullet Man, so it'll be interesting to see.
Yep.
But that's all I got. So remember, we watch bad movies so you don't have to.
And this has been Graveyard saying, have you checked on the children?
This is Salem saying, long live the new.